Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today. If you want to check that out, at Happy Hunterdon or look up Happy to Help. And today we are talking with Shannon McNamara, who is the founder of Share in Africa. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to Shannon. I met her years ago at a book drive at the elementary school and learned about her family. You've got an incredibly giving, philanthropic family. You grew up with the spirit of giving, and it evolved into so many things. And I think we're going to need 2 hours to discuss all this because there's so much going on. But why don't you just kind of start with, tell us a little bit about what Share is and how it started, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Share is something that started back in 2008. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, very official. But it's funny because the early days of Share started out as something, like you said, that was a local kind of community project that my family and I started. And a little fun fact, Share actually stands for Shannon's After School Reading Exchange, which when we first kind of started Share back in 2008, our family was going on a trip to Tanzania. I was doing my Girl Scout Gold Award project. I kind of thought, let's combine the two, bring down a bunch of books to this school that we're going to volunteer at in Tanzania and build an after-school reading program. But what Share is now today is actually more of a nonprofit that works with all general issues of education for girls in Tanzania. And we partner with one school called Hakima to basically help that school be the best it can be. But it's funny thinking about it now, going back to the early days, because I really thought when I was 15 years old in 2008 that building a library in a school would be the best thing that this community needs. And it's been really interesting over the past 10, 11 years to see how the nonprofit has taken form and shape and moved. And in talking with the community members, we realized, all right, you know, maybe not books. We're going to pivot to this. We're going to pivot to this. But where we are today right now is probably the most efficient I think we're ever going to be. So we focus on one school. It's an all-girls boarding school. It's run by nuns in the Bukoba, which is a town in Tanzania. And it's just a wonderful school that we now invest all of our time and energy into helping. We provide scholarships for girls to go to this school. We have built a dining area. We have brought electricity and internet into the school. When the school needed extra security, we have put up fences and hired guards. So basically, I think we just thought we should utilize all of our resources to really help and then start small and then expand outwards. So it's been a real journey over the past 10 years to see what the nonprofit has taken shape in.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, instead of being hard-headed and being, we're doing books and we're doing this and this is what we want to do, you looked at where the need was and expanded from there.
And it was surprising. I remember our first summer down there when we started the after-school reading program, we held kind of a community meeting for all of the parents of the girls that we wanted to be in this program to ask for their permission to let their girls join. And I thought it would be such a piece of cake. And it was incredibly surprising when almost all of the parents said, oh, we can't have our daughters in this program. They need to be home. They need to be cooking. They need to help their siblings. And I just kind of realized, yeah, I've got my I'm thinking, you know, from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. I'm not thinking from Bukoba, Tanzania. So it's been really humbling and interesting over the past couple of years to just realize that, you know, we need to seek feedback and speak with everyone to make sure we're doing the best job we can.
Yeah, it's a culture shock, right?
100%, yeah.
So why Bukoba? Did your parents pick that place to go visit?
Yeah, it's a beautiful town. It's very hard to get to. You have to want to go there. Okay. We're actually going back for our, I believe, 8th trip in August. And, you know, you have to take one flight to Europe, then you go down to Tanzania, and then you have to go across Lake Victoria and then take a car ride to get to Bukoba. But we just went there because our very first trip back in 2008, we went with a volunteer kind of tourism group, and that was the town where the leader of that group was from. So,
That was his or her hometown?
Destiny. Yeah, their hometown.
Oh, that's great. And it's right on Lake Victoria, right?
Yeah, which is
amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So can you just give us a sense of what was, if you can remember, what were your first reactions of being, you'd traveled throughout the world a little bit by then, so what was mm-hmm. your reaction to Tanzania, and if you can remember?
It was amazing. We had done a few volunteer trips before. We had been to Costa Rica. We had been to Peru. And I'm actually the youngest of my family, so we waited until I was 14, 15 to go. I'd say the main thing that was different, there were a few things. One, you got to take malaria pills. Gives you some crazy dreams. Two, I think we had experienced what it's like in other kind of developing countries, but what we saw in Tanzania was just the poorest of the poor, but also the happiest of the happiest people we've ever seen. And that kind of mixture of two in one was incredibly moving. And as I had said, we had done a lot of these trips saying, all right, we're in Costa Rica 1 year, we're in Peru the next. And on the plane ride over, I kind of thought, all right, 2008 is the year for Tanzania, and next year we'll be in China. But something about the country, Tanzania, is just, it leaves a mark on your heart. So we knew it wouldn't just be one trip.
Oh, that's nice. And now you're leaving your mark there, right? Because you're going back again and again.
Yeah, so it kind of feels like a second home at this time.
Right. And are you, do you stay in a hotel there, or do you stay at the school?
We used to, but we actually now stay on the campus.
Okay.
So the campus has been growing over the past couple of years, and they have a few areas set up for, like, visitors if they want to stay. So it's great because we can come over there. We just stay at the school for the entire time. Sometimes I'll kind of dress up and wear the uniform and attend classes and kind of play student for a day. So it's just great to be really hands-on.
And what is the importance of the uniform? Because you see all these kids, these pictures from Africa, everyone's got a uniform, and it's kind of a status symbol, would you say? What's the importance of the uniform?
Yeah, we've heard different reasons from different schools, and also a lot of the girls have shaved heads who go to school there. So there are a lot of different reasons for that. It's kind of twofold at the school. So one, it's an all-girls boarding school, and I think just to make sure that, you know, no girl has kind of any advantage over any other girl, they want them to all dress the same, wear the school uniform, and it also lets people know when they're walking around town, hey, this girl is a part of this school. And I think it kind of gives like a status or a respect symbol. So nobody will really mess with that girl as much if she's wearing the uniform outside of school. And also there's four different levels in the school. So they have different work dresses, and that's how you can tell which girls are in which level. So
That's nice.
The girls in the blue dresses kind of look like women, and the girls in the green dresses look like children, but they're somehow only 4 years apart. Yeah.
Right. And you've worn the green vest of Girl Scouts, right? Were you a Girl Scout from the get-go as a daisy?
Yeah. Yeah. That blue all the way up to, what was it? Khaki was the last color.
I think so, for the ambassador and stuff. Yeah. And so my daughter did her Gold Award, and I'm a big Girl Scout fan, but she didn't get to go to the White House to talk about it. So can you just tell us a little bit about how all that, because you got the Distinguished Award, which only 10 girls every year get.
Yeah.
Out of all the Girl Scouts.
Yeah. I mean, that was such an amazing opportunity. Yeah, I remember going to St. Louis for that award, and it was myself and 9 other Girl Scouts from across the country, and I'm still friends with a good amount of them today. Mm. And it was just wonderful to meet, you know, all these other people, and one of my friends is actually over in Fiji, and she's, you know, well-known there, so it's cool to have those connections. And through Young Women of Distinction, I then actually got involved with Girl Up, which is a program from the United Nations, and I was an ambassador for them. And on the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day, I was, I don't know how, but I was selected to go and speak at the White House on behalf of Girl Up about women's education and empowerment. And I still remember when I got that email and freaking out about it.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, you've had some incredible opportunities, but well deserved.
Oh, thank you.
So, well, I'm also, was being a Girl Scout where you chastised, because I know sometimes it's not cool to be a Girl Scout in middle school, and I just coaxed my daughter by telling her one more year, and then she ended up doing the gold, and she's grateful now. But at the time, when you're a teenager, did you feel any of that, or were you okay with all that?
You know what? I had actually, a lot of my friends were Girl Scouts. Okay. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, they probably became my friends because we started out, you know, at age whatever, being daisies. Mm-hmm. So I think because of that, it was cool. But It is funny, especially how there's the difference between Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and what they do, and it's a very different kind of idea, even though it's the same work in my mind. I think it's just as important.
And your brother got his eagle, correct?
Yeah, so that's good.
You're a scouting family, a philanthropic family, and I do want to delve into that a little bit, because I grew up in a very giving, active, community-oriented family, and you did too. So do you remember it just being a part of your life, or do you remember your parents preaching about it, or how did it seep into your psyche?
Yeah, it's 100%, my parents doing, which I'm so grateful for. We started this idea of doing family volunteer vacations from a very young age. And we travel quite a bit as a family. We used to live in Ireland. We used to live in New Zealand. So I've been traveling since I was a couple months old. Mm-hmm. And we just loved going different places. And we kind of, well, not we, because I think as kids we were happy to go wherever. You know, I loved this cruise that we were on, but my parents didn't find it as fulfilling. But as a kid, you know, it was a buffet.
Yeah, right? It's all about the food.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that bad. But my parents started to realize after a couple of years of traveling that we would go to these amazing countries and we would kind of just see the tourism face of it. We would kind of see some attractions, but we wouldn't really see like the depth of the country or the people who live there, you know, really like the meat of it. So they had this idea, and they would always tell us growing up all the time that we won the birth lottery in life, which I think nowadays people would kind of describe that as like checking your privilege. But back then, my parents always said, you won the birth lottery in life. You happen to be, you know, born into this family in this town, in this country, and that's the reason why your life is the way it is, because it's just a lottery. And that was kind of instilled in us pretty early on, which I think is an important thing to, you know, be aware of. And we started these family volunteer vacations. So instead of going away on a family summer trip and, you know, doing one of those tourist attractions, we would go to Costa Rica, we would go to Peru, my brother and sister went to China, my mom and sister went to Guatemala, and for about anywhere from a couple of weeks to a month, we would just kind of stay with that group and volunteer in those areas, which was great. And then we also got to combine it, so when we went to Peru, we went up to Ayacucho, and we were able to, I remember teaching English up on these rooftops and people walking around holding chickens by the feet. And it was such a cool experience. And then at the end, you know, we got to do Machu Picchu. So it's great because you really got to hear a lot of stories from people who live there and feel like you were getting a deep experience. But, you know, it also has its fun parts too.
Yeah. Just some perspective, exposure, having the gratefulness. So I think all that is amazing. And I'm so excited to learn more. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hundred in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500. For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today if you want to watch and watch along at Happy Hunter and or at Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Shannon McNamara. She's the founder of Share in Africa, a nonprofit based in Tanzania. And she has talked about her life and how she grew up in a family of volunteerism and how it's enhanced her life. And they're getting ready to go back to Tanzania next month. And tell us about, well, first of all, tell us how people can find Share if they want to learn about Share.
Yeah, absolutely. Share in Africa is the full name. So shareinafrica.org. Or if you want to find us on Facebook or Instagram, Share in Africa.
Okay. And then do you have a goal for when you're going? Are you going with your parents again this next month? Okay.
My parents and myself. So it's always great to go down with them. And yeah, we'll be there for the first-ish kind of week of August. So pretty excited.
And your focus when you're there is to, because you've gone from giving books to creating a dining hall to creating a new dormitory to, you know, it just it keeps expanding, which is wonderful. So this focus for this trip is related to water, you said?
Yeah, we're focusing on a water retention system and then also bringing better internet access into the school. And like you said, we kind of have one main focus when we go down every year, because even the trip down there, I think we timed it once. It basically takes 2 days to get from, you know, Newark, New Jersey down to the school in Bukoba. So we spend most of our time during the year here in the States focusing on the next project and then kind of implementing it once we go down there. So it's twofold. One is water retention system. There used to be a nearby area where the girls would collect water for the school. And the girls do everything at the school. And I think I told you once that when I kind of try to play pretend as a student, I'll wear the uniforms, I'll go to the classes, I'll do what they do. And it is hard work. They wake up at 4:30 a.m. They get to work on chores. They're cleaning around the school. They study on their own in the dark until the sun comes up. Then they go to their classes in between. They help cook the food. They take care of the grounds, which are always, it's absolutely beautiful. It's just like this lush, you know, jungle around this amazing campus. They will carry grain on their heads. They'll be chopping. They'll be dusting. So, yeah, I actually didn't last the entire day. I lasted until about 2 p.m. And then I said I had to go do Share work, and I napped. But the girls do all of that. So collecting water is one of the things that they do. But recently the source kind of dried up. Mm-hmm. So they're looking to build another one closer to the school. Yeah. So that's kind of our project of, you know, 2019. And then we also want to work on bringing better internet access into the school. It's there, but it's the type of internet access that makes you want to pull your hair out because it's so slow. Right. And we would love to be able to have great internet access in there, so that way these girls could be using Khan Academy, you know, the same resources that Bill Gates' kids are going to be using could be used by these girls if they have good internet. So I think that's a big focus of ours.
You said initially it was a hard sell because the parents were like, no, we need them at home to give childcare and fetch water and cook and chores. Yeah. So how did that transition once they realized the benefit of education? Did it work?
So I'd say it worked halfway through. So so that was back in, I think, 2008 when we were working with this primary school called Kidiagwa. And their parents, you know, weren't as keen on the idea, but of course we had a lot of help from community members to kind of say, well, let's give this a chance. But what we're working on now with Hakima, as we've kind of migrated and focused on a different solution, is that this school is an all-girls boarding school, and that's great for so many reasons. The girls sleep there, they live there, they go home for holidays and, you know, the summer. But when they're there, they only have school to focus on. They don't have to, and of course, you know, cleaning around the school, but that's part of their curriculum.
Yeah.
So they just can focus on school, focus on themselves, and it's also a lot safer for the girls. There's a lot of stories of girls walking to and from school and being, you know, attacked on their walks there. So with a boarding school, you just have, it's a much safer and better environment for the girls to learn in.
And then in Tanzania, do they have the entrance exam for university that they have to take? Aren't there several sections? Or
Yeah, they're pretty intense. And one of the reasons that we wanted to invest in Hakima was that it's run by a group of nuns who, most of them are teachers who have been educated in the United States or in Europe, and they're just smart as a tack, and they do so well on these exams. So I think, you know, maybe down the road it would be great to work with another school, but right now it's just amazing to see so many results, because there were some schools that we worked with in Tanzania at the beginning where we would give, you know, money for something to get done, and then we would come back the next summer and that project wasn't done, but oh look, that guy has a new suit on. Where did that come from?
So no, it's hard.
You know, it's just now we know that we're really putting all of our time and energy into a great place and seeing results year after year, which is really satisfying.
Now, are these nuns from a particular order that's based in Africa or somewhere else? Or
yeah, they are, and the name is escaping
that's
me
okay.
right now.
But is it but an African, or is it Irish, or is it, or do you know? I mean, is it the origins?
I think there's a group, and some of the nuns, there's like a main group that it's run by at the school, but then there are also different teachers that come through. So it's not like an entirely focused...
not all religious-based or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay.
But the girls do pray. And
So it's Christian-based.
Christian,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was just curious. So, that I mean, education is the focus. And so do they... Have you had kids graduate and then go on to university or go on to careers from there?
Yeah, we have, which is amazing. This one girl, we actually did kind of a mini documentary on her that my brother put together, because he's great with all things film and video.
Yeah.
And it was called Meet Jonita. And that school that I mentioned back in 2008, which was school Kitiagwa in Bukoba, Jonita was just a young girl then. And we met her at that school, the school where the parents weren't sure about letting their daughters come to the reading program. But her parents said she could come to the reading program, and she just started... I'm about to get misty. She just started taking off, and you'll see it in the video of her, like, God, it was such a long time ago. I remember there's a clip in the video where she's reading, "See, spot, run, spot, runs fast." And then we gave her a scholarship, because she performed really well at Kitiagwa, to go to the Hakima School. And same with her sister, a couple years younger than her. They both went to Hakima. We would visit them there. They were doing really well. They had a bunch of friends. She did well in her exams, and now she's actually studying in Uganda to be a doctor. And we talk on WhatsApp, which is amazing. And the last time we saw her, she was, this is going to sound crazy, but she had boobs. And I thought, oh my God, Jonita is a full-on woman. And when I saw her, she was just a young girl, you know, walking to school with an umbrella and kind of shoes that were like soaked from the rain. And it's just, it's crazy to see.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's doing amazing.
Right, and you always think, when you think of education, like, oh, they're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a physicist, or an IT person. Are there other girls that are exploring? I know with Room to Read, a lot of them actually come back and become teachers or librarians. What are the other options for these girls once they do have an education? Are there options for them?
Yeah, and there are a couple students actually from Hakima. I think they weren't students when we were there, but they're now teachers, and they used to be students at Hakima. So some of them will go to college and then come back. Jonita actually wanted to be a pilot for a long time, and we were thinking, oh, maybe you could help us fly from Dar es Salaam to Bukoba one day, but then, it became a doctor. A lot of these girls say that they want to be doctors, nurses, engineers, teachers. They focus a lot, which I think is interesting, speaking to the teachers, saying what topics are the girls here interested in, and they're really interested in the STEM topics, which is interesting, right? Because here in the U.S., they say not a lot of girls are interested in those topics.
Right.
But at Hakima, they love science. They love math.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, the other interesting thing that I noticed was they said that the average woman in, there's a high birth rate, like 5 kids per woman. Is that still an issue, or is that just culturally what they do? Or maybe they don't have birth control. I don't know.
There is. And there's an organization called The Girl Effect.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah. They do amazing videos with statistics. Yes. And I used to know all of them off the top of my head. But if you want to go to girleffect.org, they have them there. And every extra year past primary school, so every extra year in secondary school or beyond, I think that the birth rate, or, the odds of a woman, she will delay the age when she has birth. She will have fewer children. She will have safer pregnancies.
And she'll educate her children.
Yeah, and she'll be much more likely to educate her children. And that's just every single year after primary school that she's educated. So.
But there's still, obviously, some women, it's still culturally the norm to have quite the high birth rate. Okay.
And it's amazing, too. Just driving through Bukoba, you will see women with, one child strapped to the front of her, one child trapped to the back, small girl next to her, that girl is carrying a child themselves.
Oh, my
and
word.
And then we drive through town, and all the men are sitting on chairs drinking literally banana beer. And we're like, there's five kids on that one woman.
I know, right? It's crazy, right? Crazy. Well, and then is HIV and AIDS still quite a problem there? A lot of orphans? Or no, is it under control now? Or
no, it definitely is. And we also, there have been a few students in the school who have lost parents due to HIV and AIDS and become orphans halfway through their schooling. So in that case, Cher will also step in and provide a scholarship to keep that girl in school, even though her parents have passed away.
No, that's incredible because you're. I mean, what else are they going to do?
And
right?
The sisters really care a lot about teaching about that topic and what it means, which I think is great.
Well, you have to, right?
Yeah, because it's happening.
It's everywhere. Yes. Yeah. And do you still have the pen pal program? Or no?
No, not anymore. Okay. It took a lot to keep going. But
I'm
love
sure.
to have that.
Yeah,
maybe once they get internet, it could be an email program.
I know. Well, yeah, that's true. Or we were talking about how things are so focused on technology, but maybe we'll go back to a letter writing culture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm still sad that they don't teach cursive and penmanship, and mm-hmm. But whatever. What are you going to do? So, how else can people help share if they want to get involved? Do you have any galas, or does it mostly donate through the website? Or
yeah, I'd say right now it's mostly through the website, but like I said, every year we kind of have a new initiative, and I mean we've just got a bucket list of things we'd love to do, helping with the bathrooms, helping to enforce some of these buildings. Once we have internet, we would love to start new programs with Khan Academy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say follow us on Facebook and on Instagram and check out the website, because we'll always be keeping people updated on the newest project.
Right. Are there any other girls besides Jonita that you've connected with over the years, or that were really stood out to you as just characters?
Yeah, I would say God, there's so many when we go down there, and Jackton is one of the guys that we've met down there, and a couple of his sisters are in the school, and it's always great to see them all together. Any time where you kind of have a family for the school, I think, is always a fun experience. But honestly, this is kind of a funny story, but one of my favorite experiences was when we first went down there, you know, you kind of have your volunteer goggles on and you're thinking, okay, like we are here. We have, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks to make a difference. This is what we want to do. And because I'm usually the same age as the girls, I'll kind of go in and interact with them. And sometimes they'll speak to me a little bit more candidly than they would my parents or their older volunteers that are with us. And I went down one year with a friend and share volunteer. Her name was Emily Berger. And we had our school outfits on for the day, and we were in class, and one of them was home ec, and we were baking with these group of girls. And one of the girls, you could tell she was kind of popular. They're baking, and she looks out this window of this girl walking by, and she goes, fat. And we were like, oh my God. But then it was horrible. But then at the same time, I was like, yeah, these are girls just like us. We all did stuff like this in high school, you know, like it's kind of universal, like the laws of high school and what it means when you're a kid. And I think that was a fun moment when I kind of realized, okay, these aren't just girls in a school that we are here to help. These are, you know, like fellow girls who kind of want the same things we do, and they act the same way we do, and they have the same positive and negative attributes. And it was kind of like a very human moment.
In that
mean girl home ec cooking class.
Wow, that is funny. Well, no, it's true, because people are people regardless of where you are. And, and that's interesting. Oh my gosh, that's funny. And have you had quite a few other people from either friends or relatives or whatever go down with you to visit sometimes, or is that option?
Yeah, we've had a few. We've had a couple of volunteers, you know, people who have been with us for a while. And I would love to have more people come down, especially as the more we go down, the more we kind of have it down to a science where, you know, it takes a long time to travel there, but we know the best way to do it. So I think in the future we'd love to have people come with us. And the girls love meeting anybody, so.
Yeah. Are they curious about the U.S. at all? Do they ask you questions about the U.S. or America?
100%.
Well, yeah. What do they want to know?
God, they want to know about One Direction a lot of the time. You know, what's One Direction like? Have you met anyone from One Direction?
Funny.
You know, what the TV shows are like, what New York City is like. They're always, back when I was in college and I would go down there, they were always very interested to hear about Rice and the classes there and what my friends were like, and, you know, showing them pictures of some of my friends, and some of them have crazy hair and things like that. And
so they're just curious, right?
Curious
to see how people. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about is when you did go back a little bit, where you collected all those books to take down, because people always want to give me books for room to read, and I don't think people realize the how difficult it is to, it's great, it's easy to collect books, but to actually getting them and shipping them to where they need to be, was that an issue or did you guys say?
And that's actually why, sadly, we don't do any more book donations, is because especially transporting them all the way to Bukoba, you know, it's hard enough to get ourselves there. Excuse me. The first year that we went, we collected just hundreds of pounds of books. And what we did was we packed all of our, you know, crummy clothes into this one, like, tight, jammed suitcase. And then we had just Tupperware bins, basically, filled to the brim with these books. And it was a journey getting them over, but it was so massively appreciated. Mm-hmm. So then when we kept getting the donations of books, which I'm sure you're familiar with, we thought, okay, do we send them over by air, by mail, by shipping container? And it was hard, too, because sometimes if in those book donations someone would donate a laptop or something electronic, odds were that it would get stolen at the port.
Yeah.
And it was very, very expensive to ship over. So finally we realized, you know, after a couple trips, they had enough books over there. And also, we always say that you want to make sure, especially when you're working somewhere internationally, that you're working with the local communities, so the local bookstores and things like that. So it just got to a point where it was too expensive, and I feel like it wasn't a good use of our donations to spend them on shipping.
Right. Yeah. But do you do some laptops as well still, like take them with you? And
yeah, okay. Laptops and e-readers. The girls absolutely love the e-readers and Kindles. We'll load them up with books and they'll pass it around. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's funny. There was a romance book that happened to get on there, and the girls all knew the page where, like, the big kiss happened.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
They were like, yeah, 127. 127? 127. All their heads pop up. I'm like, okay, memorized.
It's funny. Well,
this romance book.
Did you send them the Twilight series or no?
Yeah, they'd probably get a kick out of that. We once showed them, we had a movie night, and we showed them Beauty and the Beast. They were confused, which you think Beauty and the Beast is wonderful, and then you watch it through the eyes of someone who hasn't seen that many Disney movies, and you go, ooh, yeah, she's kissing an animal. But, you know, we picked it because Belle loves to read, and we thought there were a bunch of books, but they got a kick out of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. What other interesting things can you tell us about life there at the school and like, their daily life and...
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible, the drive and ambition that these girls have to get an education and better themselves is just completely through the roof. And back when I would go in college, it would always kind of be a wake-up call to me that, yeah, I used to sleep through a class, you know, every once in a while, and it just would not ever occur to these girls. And it's really heartwarming. And the things that they go through on the daily, even just... you know, last year there was an earthquake that hit Bukoba, and a couple of the dormitories were shattered and some of the classrooms were as well. So that was one of our, you know, initiatives for that year, was to rebuild the dormitories and build new ones, safer ones, stronger ones. And when we went back last year and we were looking around at all this destruction and things like that, it was crazy to hear from the girls, because when an earthquake year happens on LA, it's trending on Twitter, and people don't really care too much. And you know that it's going to be fine. And if something isn't fine, then it's a massive news story. But here in Bukoba, so many buildings were decimated. You know, it obviously didn't really make the news. And these girls were saying that for days afterwards, they were just sleeping outside on the ground because they were scared that another one would happen or things like that. So it's just kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just, yeah, our news is so focused on just the very narrow ribbon of what's going on in the global world today. So I'm trying to broaden people's perspectives with the show. And you studied sociology, poverty, justice, human capability. So how did that happen when you were doing it in the classroom in college? And were you probably able to offer a lot of insight in your classes? And you probably learned a lot more than just being on the ground. So how did that all interrelate? Yeah. Or is that why you chose that major?
Yeah, sociology I get into. My mom is also a sociology major, and I just thought it's very interesting. I was also interested in psychology and anthropology. All of those subjects, I think, are just kind of life hacks into the human mind and the way we interact. And, you know, the way that communities and groups interact, I think, has always been fascinating. And I was lucky enough that at Rice, they have this very interesting minor called Poverty, Justice, and Human Capabilities. And the whole focus of that, I would say I spent almost as much time on that minor as I did with the major. The focus of PGHC is what we called it, is all about why does poverty exist in some areas of the world and not others? And has it always been that way? And is it a social or economic or even geological reason for why that's happening? And, you know, women's rights and children's rights and everything like that. So it was great because everyone who took that minor was really like-minded, and it was just interesting to hear about that. You know, and I also took the time to not focus just on education and literacy, even though I'm really interested in that. But I think I did one of my year-end projects on female genital mutilation and how it occurs in a bunch of different countries in Africa, Tanzania being one of them. And I think when, you know, I had that opportunity to kind of zoom out and hear about more issues that were happening, because there's a lot. And I remember our first summer when we were going down there in 2008, the head of our volunteer group, the one who was from Bukoba, we emailed him ahead of time and I said, hey, I'm doing my Girl Scout Gold Award project. I want to do something that focuses on the needs of the community. Could you get back to me with what some of the needs are? He came back with like a list of 50 things. And, you know, education and literacy was up at the top, but there were also 49 down below it. I think the first one was actually HIV AIDS, but mm-hmm. I thought I'm not equipped to do anything with that. Mm-hmm. But there are just a bunch of needs. And I think I want to be continuing my work with Cher for, you know, as long as I live. So I'd love to know anything more about what affects the country, what affects Bukoba, the people there. And that was a great minor to kind of take a look at what's going on in that area.
Was there anything you've learned in your studies at school that blew your mind, or because you thought you'd seen a lot? So was there anything that completely surprised you, or a statistic or a country or something you learned that you remember that might have jumped out at you?
A lot kind of blew my mind. And one thing that I've been very interested in is this is kind of what came up back in 2008. The problem isn't quite education. There is education in Tanzania, but I think the problem is all of the roadblocks that a young female woman will face when trying to get that education in Tanzania. So not being able to study after school being one of them, which I experienced. And then there's this project, nonprofit called She Innovates, and it's all about making menstrual pads out of banana leaf fiber. And girls who menstruate at the time won't go to school, and then they'll stay home for that week, and then they miss a week of classes and things like that. And really just talking about, you know, normal, typical things that happen in the female body is so not talked about in a lot of these Tanzania and a lot of the countries surrounding it. And because of that, it's just really not addressed as something. But I think it's cool because it's something that should, even in the U.S., we don't really talk about it that much, but it's normal and it's natural. And in Tanzania, it's a barrier to education and, you know, what you do in your daily life. So I think they're a great project doing some really incredible work with it. And we're actually hoping to sync up with them and buy some pads for our trip in August.
Okay. And it's called
She Innovates.
She Innovates. Yeah. Okay. Well, we could look that one up too. Yeah. There's a lot of people doing a lot of work in that space too. They really, because people just don't realize there's a lot of barriers to getting into school, whether it's that it's too far away or they don't have the time, they don't have the means, they don't have the resources, they don't have, and even you can't study at night. They don't have candles, they don't have electricity. There's just so many things that we take for granted every day, all day, that prohibits
with
them.
With our lens, you know. There's that story, I forget what book it was in. Maybe it was the Half the Sky, Nicholas Kristof book. But a nonprofit, children were having trouble making the long trek to school. So the nonprofit came by and they gave a bunch of bikes to the children. But then the aunts or the parents would take that bike and they would sell it because they needed the money. So then the kid didn't have the bike. So then the problem wasn't solved. So I think we've really stumbled onto a good path now where we work with Hakima, and those nuns and teachers at the school, they know exactly what's best. So when we, as I said, we kind of have our list of things that we want to get done. But we go to them for it, and we say, okay, you know who the right person is to hire for this. You know what this is. We want to help without overstepping and complicating things.
Yeah, well, you found a niche, and you made a connection, and then you've just grown from there, which I think is so incredible. So, I mean, it works, it fits, it feels right, and it's helped. So I think that, and like you said, it was kind of unexpected. You're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, check Tanzania off the list and then go to China. But then you stayed because you just felt something there that brought you there and kept you there. And we were talking about this a little bit before, but that's what I'm trying to tell people with this show, is that, you know, maybe you don't care about Tanzania, you've never been to Tanzania, and you want to help someone in Newark, or you want to help animals, or you want to help people get water everywhere with water.org, or you just have to find what clicks with you. And but the important part is to help somebody, whether it's your next door neighbor or someone across the world. You have to find what clicks with you and what organization means something to you, and then just do it. Just spend an hour, or find out about a nonprofit that someone in your church is involved with, or your neighbor or your friend. And because that's we're all designed to, we're all meant to help one another on this planet, and you just have to find the right opportunity that's fulfilling for both parties. Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
Good. And it always feels so good. Yeah,
I know, right? It's indescribable, right? Yeah. You know, and I always say you always get back tenfold what you give. Uh-huh. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Like, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're talking to Shannon McNamara today about her nonprofit and girls' boarding school in Bukoba, Tanzania. And she's had an incredible upbringing, volunteering her whole life and going to all these amazing countries and setting up nonprofits and doing good work in the world. And if that isn't enough, you have a very interesting and exciting hobby. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been involved with comedy, specifically improv comedy, for, God, maybe 6 years now? Yeah, so it started, everyone in my family has kind of got the funny bone in them.
Okay.
And my brother and sister did improv comedy when they were in college. So, of course, when I went to college, I wanted to do improv comedy. And I didn't make it the first time. And I was like, oh, this team's horrible. I don't even care. I don't even like any of them. And the next year I made it, and I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I was just lying. So I did improv with them. Our team name was Spontaneous Combustion, and it was just so fun. And then I actually applied for a program called Comedy Studies, which was a six-month program. I kind of used it as my study abroad, even though it was just in Chicago. But sounds good. Study domestic. And I went to the Second City, which is kind of like comedy mecca. That's where Tina Fey and Amy Poehler met, and that's where Steve Carell and Steve Colbert, I mean, anyone that you can name has come out of there. So it was an amazing six-month class where we learned everything. You learned about the history of comedy, the old comics, the new comics. You learned about stand-up and sketch comedy and improv and even physical comedy, so different accent work or how to fake hit someone so it looks like they've been hit, and how to fake fall down when you've been fake hit and things like that. So it was a real joy. And then the summer after that, I actually interned at the Colbert Report.
I know. So exciting.
It was absolutely me. I mean, I don't think I'll ever have a summer better than that. So
is he a cool guy?
Absolutely the coolest, yeah. I'm a little bit sad that the show is gone because, you know, he's doing great with late night talk show, but there was nothing like the Colbert Report. It was just so
good. I know. You're so lucky. Well, what kind of things did you do when you were there? What were your assignments?
Yeah, it was a little bit of everything. So it would be classic, you know, getting someone lunch. Steve Colbert likes grilled cheese and tomato soup, but then again, who doesn't, right?
Yeah, why not?
And we would make the props, so we'd be making paper mache things, or anytime he's drinking, you know, whiskey or rum on the show, that's actually a special type of iced tea that's been made by interns down in the basement.
Oh, so that's funny.
We would sometimes sit in on writer meetings and things like that, and some of the minds, just seeing all these hilarious creative and talented people in one room bouncing ideas off of each other. And, you know, they were like, oh, what's the name of, what's an example of some guy that's kind of popular but not too popular, like everyone knows him but he doesn't have a talent? And then they would be like, Jared, the guy from Subway. And they're like, okay, yeah, put him in. And yeah, it was just cool to see
wow,
the way that their minds worked. It was really fascinating.
That sounds great. Did you make some good friends there? Were there other interns? Or
Yeah, a lot of fellow interns, and some of them are actually working on a show now. And I just saw one of the old interns last month. She came to New York and we hung out. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it's a good team.
Yeah, no, he's so funny. I just love, if I want to need a good laugh, I stay up so I can watch The Late Show.
And Conan O'Brien, I think.
I like Conan too. Yeah,
they're
Conan,
such good people.
Yeah,
you know?
Conan's just a big dork, like, you know. Yeah. I love when he goes to Cuba and different things. He's so funny.
His travel shows are, and his podcast.
I only do a podcast. I don't listen to them. I just don't have time, you know. In a perfect world, I would, you know, but no, that's great. I did read 3 books on vacation, so that was good. I was glad to get through some books. So I still like the quiet old-fashioned book, no Kindle, no reader, just so
seems like such a comp task to finish a book nowadays.
Yeah,
it used to take a weekend and now it takes a month.
I know, right? Yeah. And, well, are you a big reader? Do you read often? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I've started getting into some of the classics. Like, I'm reading right now Alice in Wonderland, which is funny. You know, I've seen the book, but all of these good quotes are from it. And you've seen the quotes on Pinterest, but you never knew where they came from.
Yep.
So it's a good one.
Yep. My physics teacher in high school, I wasn't very good at physics, but he always had Alice in Wonderland references on the, and in the middle of the test, he would put a quote and different things. I'm like, I'm stressing out here. I don't need a quote. But he was a great guy. He was very cool. But
whenever you watch the movie, you have like equations going.
Not at all. I blocked all that out. Definitely. So, tell us too about your experience on the UN Teen Advisory Board. I mean, that must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That was with the group Girl Up, and they're doing amazing things right now. They've got a lot of powerful female celebrities hosting their events and things like that. And that was also a group that was tasked for female education and empowerment and all of these different areas around the world. So they were doing really, really good work. And it was just interesting to, I spoke at the UN once, and going there, and it's just an incredible place. I mean, now that I live in New York, I should probably visit it some more, but it's one place where you have people from all, you know, walks of life and different languages, all kind of bustling in this hub, and it's a really good energy to be there.
Yeah, and I did a tour with a group, and we had a docent with us, or a guy that kind of explained everything and took us around. And it's just amazing to be in that room with the green marble, the stage or whatever. And it was cool, and just walking through the different things. They had the sustainable development goals all listed, and they have some other just practical things, like how much trash the world generates, and just different, just eye-opening experiences for all kinds of issues and around the world. And so if you're looking for a volunteer opportunity, go there and you can say, this is a problem resonates with me. I'm gonna find a way to help.
Yeah.
Right?
It's funny, you almost got whiplash because, you know, the positives and negatives, right? So they'll list some statistic, and I'm like, oh my God, our world is doomed. But then they'll list another statistic or have a speaker, and I'm like, oh, but we're saved because they're doing this, you know? So it's good. You definitely walk out of there knowing a lot more than you did when you came in.
Right. And Nick Kristoff, who you mentioned, he's done so much amazing work, but he's the first to say, and Peter Singer and the other guys, they say that there are so many people that are so much better off than the general population was years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. But there's still, you know, there's still a long way to go, but we have accomplished something. It's not all for naught, right?
Yeah, which might just be the way that it is with the news and media and in general, right? And anything negative gets more press than anything positive, right? We know which foods are bad for us, but we don't know the vitamins and the ones that are good for us. And we know the atrocities going on in the world, but we don't know that they had an amazing parade or they opened up a new XYZ, because you just kind of don't hear about that.
Yeah, it's not sensationalized enough. Yeah. I think people are trying to, and that's what I'm definitely trying to do with the show, is to highlight all the good people doing wonderful things. And it you know, you've taken it to a whole new level, which is great because you were brought up in that environment. But it really just takes paying attention, you know, and reaching out and then doing something. So it's not that hard, and it is so it enhances your life so much. Talking about books and reading, so your mom wrote a book, Hungry Words. Is it good? Is it a good book? Can I get? I'm always looking for new books. So what was?
Yeah, my mom did her dissertation on the Irish famine, but children's literature in the Irish famine, which was really interesting. And my mom actually isn't Irish, but she's basically Irish.
Yeah, she married your dad, right?
Yeah, so her last name is McNamara, and she did her dissertation on this. And I find myself very similar to my mom in a bunch of different ways. You know, she is incredibly empathetic. I think she does something giving or selfless to someone every single day. It's just kind of her MO. And she did something very interesting, which I don't think anyone's ever done before, was she did a dissertation on the Irish famine and also slavery and the Holocaust, but she talked about how it was portrayed in children's literature.
Wow.
And basically found that, you know, it's really not portrayed in children's literature. But growing up, it was funny because a lot of the children's books that we read, because we were kind of younger when she was going through this, were about, you know, Irish famine, the Holocaust, and things like that, which is really interesting, I think. And like I said, she was a sociology major, so I think she's always been interested too in the different cultures and societies and world and how they're kind of you know, brought to other people, whether that be through reports or speeches or children's books.
Right, and that's fascinating. Well, it's funny because in the U.S. we don't, you want children's books to be happy and all this other stuff, but then they watch these Disney movies where mom always dies or someone, you know. Yeah. It's so funny. They're saying, we don't want to expose our kids to these horrible things, but then the Disney movie, you know, there's all these kinds of emotions and horrible things happening, but it's Disney, so it's okay. So it's just funny how you look at different things and how kids are exposed to different things, but I think that's fascinating, so I'll have to... do you know why she called it Hungry Words? Was it just because of the famine? And
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
No, I noticed that on the website. So again, definitely check out the website, shareinafrica.org. You can find her on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram and follow what they're doing, because you've got this big project coming up with the water. And I think that's incredible. Is there any kind of micro industry starting with I know some of the nonprofits, they have a group of women sewing or making things, or you have the seed program. We didn't talk about that. Is that still going on with the seeds, or no? That was a different
kind of. We used to take, you know, seed donations, then we'd bring them down, and then it's always cool because you go down the next year and they go, and this was grown from, you know, what you brought us from Maryland,
nice,
or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's always cool to see. We haven't done anything like those, you know, micro organizations or something, but I think it would be a great idea to do in the future. And we do always purchase, you know, local goods when we're down there from people, and you know, those can be, you know, if you attend some of our events, you might see them there and things like that. But I think it's an idea for the future.
Yeah, that's good. Well, because some of the naysayers out there are people that are exposed and know a lot about all this industry. They're saying, you know, U.S. and other countries, rich countries, send rice or send things to other countries, but then it decimates the local industry. So,
yeah.
You know, you're trying to help, but then you're really crushing someone else. And so,
like the Tom shoes, that was
a
big one.
I know.
What about the local shoemakers?
It's common. And the t-shirt industry is another whole big thing. And so it's complicated, you know.
Yeah.
It definitely is complicated. So I'm about to read this book called The Road to Hell, and it's a guy that did all this research into foreign aid, and so I haven't started it yet, but that's what I'm...
So, it's just very interesting to hear about all that stuff and how it is true. So I think every year we try to be cognizant. We used to make t-shirts from Custom Ink, and then we talked to the sisters, and there was a local t-shirt place that could make them instead. So it's just kind of baby steps like that. But
well, I mean, some of it is you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's a discovery process.
Yeah, and I think I love thinking of it as a discovery process, rather. I think a lot of times, you know, just the daily social media, if you do something wrong, people are quick to condemn it instead of, you know, teach you the right
from
way
their
to do
couch.
It.
From
exactly.
their couch.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, with their phone.
I'm not doing anything, but I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong.
I'll tell you how you're doing
I know, right? So, yeah, so get off the couch and do something. And the intent is good, right? You're not trying to hurt anybody, but, it's, you know, and it, like I said, you don't know everything, and part of it's a learning process and an evolution, and you're obviously doing good things, so that's very exciting.
Oh, thank you. We'll write back at you.
I'm having fun. Like I tell people, I said, the only reason I do all this stuff is because I'm completely selfish and I'm having a great time, so, you know, and that's okay, too, I think, in my book. So, anyway, well, we're very happy to have you today. So, again, it's Shannon McNamara. The organization is Share in Africa, and check her out. Check out the videos on the website that your brother made and the stories. The stories are amazing, and I'm very grateful that you could be here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of New York City, where El Chapo, Joaquin Guzman, the notorious leader of a Mexican drug cartel who spent decades on the run from authorities, has been sentenced by a federal judge to life in an American prison. The 62-year-old expected to be sent to the federal Supermax facility in Florence, Colorado. U.S. House Democrats were able to, along party lines, pass a resolution yesterday declaring President Trump's recent tweets and comments about four minority congresswomen racist. However, Republicans also were able to declare Speaker Nancy Pelosi out of order for having called the president's comments racist on the House floor before that vote. Doug Collins is a Republican from Georgia.
When you come to the House floor, it is a place of dignity, it's a place of decorum.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died at 99. Back in 2010, then-President Barack Obama said of him,
"He's worn the judicial robe with honor and humility. He has applied the Constitution and the laws of the land with fidelity and restraint."
The U.S. House may now vote on an impeachment inquiry into President Trump again, as Democratic Congressman Al Green's resolution could see a vote later today or tonight. The Texas lawmaker has tried this procedural move before, but his efforts have fallen flat, as Democratic leaders in the House have been resistant to impeachment, choosing instead to continue aggressive investigations of President Trump and his administration. The vote later today could end up seeing this latest effort sent to a committee or tabled. Remnants of what was Tropical Storm Barry are threatening flooding in more than a half dozen states now. Flash flood alerts out for seven states from Minnesota to New Jersey. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A judge is further restricting the social media use of Donald Trump ally Roger Stone. Here's the latest from USA Radio's Wendy King.
She says no more Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Stone, who was already charged in lying in the Russia investigation, is now in deeper trouble after a federal judge said he repeatedly violated her gag order. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson didn't send Stone to jail or fine him in contempt. She said his behavior was more appropriate for middle school than a court of law. Stone has used social media to attack the case against him in the broader election interference probe. Jackson issued the gag order in February following the posting of an image of the judge in the crosshairs of a gun. Stone is scheduled to go to trial in November. He has pleaded not guilty.
Bitcoin is losing value as U.S. lawmakers are questioning Facebook over its plans to start a cryptocurrency. The digital coin dropping nearly 13% of its value yesterday as the Senate Banking Committee was questioning Facebook about its plans to launch what it's calling Libra. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle saying they don't trust Facebook to begin with, so they